The art of being. The art of to be is merely isness. I like that. Merely isness. The art of being, the art of to be, is merely isness. This is the Absolute Philosopher, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, and all sorts of other good things here in Campo, California, on the Far Valley Ranch, sitting here after our dinner this evening, and after reading a thesis from one of our students that was rather amazing. And we want to share with you this philosophical concept. The art of being, the art of to be, is merely isness. What is the art of being? The art of being is complete. There is no addedness to it. It perhaps should be to be, but the art of existence is existence. There's nothing else added to existence. Now, when we're talking in the absolute relative, in the absolute phase, we cannot say that there is any to be or not to be. That was Shakespeare's. We can only say it is. But the moment we start saying it is, and meaning that it's an isness, then we are giving it renewed life. Sylvia, what does the word ness mean?
The quality of something.
Ness is the quality of something. What does the word itself mean without the ness?
Quality.
No, the aspect. See, quality of something is without the ness.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Is, yeah, and ness. Yeah, yeah. What does is mean and what does ness mean?
And is the thing itself.
The thing itself. That's right. That's the point. You have to listen very closely. I like to fool you. So, is the thing itself, and ness is the quality of being. So, if we have an is-ness, if we have a being-ness, if we have a limitlessness, we have the object and we have the essence of its existence, the beingness, the quality of its expression. I heard a comment from some friends, and they were saying everything was beautiful, and life is great, everything's going along just fine. And then they made a little comment, and they said, but my relatives don't come and visit me. And I thought to myself, what an interesting comment to make. My relatives don't come and visit me. Now, this would be the remark of a sad old lady who was alone and had no one in the world, or a sad old man, or a sad young man, or young lady. It doesn't matter the age. But they were saying that, no, their relatives don't come and visit them. If you are going to live in the state of absolute, you are all things. And there's nobody going to come visit you or not visit you. You have around you whatever you are. And if you are the all, then you have the all around you. If you are the nothing, then you have the nothing around you. Well, this comment sort of made me stop and think a couple times. And it made me stop and think how much we, in our human way, are living our absolute reality, but we don't know it. The person who said, they don't come and visit me, my relatives don't, was saying that he had a concept of what it meant for people to come and visit him or her. The concept was that they come every day, or they come every week, or every month, or whatever. And you see, when you live in allness, There is no visiting or not visiting, because you are one as all, and you have that experience at all times. Now, can you imagine an absolute being, an absolute, what do you want to say, expression, an absolute expression? Can you imagine an absolute expression not having the allness around it, or not having the nothingness around it? Or we want to take the ness away, the quality of being, not having the all around it, not having the nothing around it. Well, think about that. This is how we, in our way of thinking, sort of describe absolute. We describe absolute in these relative terms. And then we wonder why we don't understand absolute. We don't understand absolute as long as we feel that this is the case, as long as we feel that it is not all. The moment we feel absolute is not all, we are thinking relative. The moment we think absolute is all, then we are thinking in absolute terms. We mess ourselves up in our research into absolute awareness by allowing ourselves to think in relative terms. And every time we think in a relative term, we are so far from absolute, that is, in its ultimate reality, that we're going to be a long journey getting back to that awareness. The journey being into the allness, into the isness, into the nothingness, into the whatever. Have you ever considered how wonderful it would be to be absolute? You are, of course. Well, I tell everyone, it is wonderful being absolute. You've all tasted it, you've all known it, you've all probably been there too, and come away and chose to be relative again. But you know it, and you've been there, but it was not an exciting thing. It was not something that is comparable to a relative action in any way, shape, or form. However, the big point in this is, the moment you are all, the moment you are an is, and the moment you are there, you do not think of relative. And this is why it amuses me, and I have not figured this out yet, this is why it amuses me that people or beings who would accept their absolute quality would ever want to have a relative journey. It's just utterly beyond my thought. And I'm sure I will come to a conclusion about it one day. But at the moment, it just boggles my mind that anyone, from my understanding of what absolute is, could ever want to be away from that. Absolute has no emotion to it. It has no desire to it. It has no feeling of completion or incompletion. Absolute has no feeling of being loved or not being loved. Absolute is the ultimate, the unconditional love, that which just, well, it accepts all because it is all, and it accepts every experience because it is every experience, and yet there are no experiences in absolute. How can we say it accepts every experience because it is every experience? How can we say it accepts all because it is all, when, since it's all, it cannot be aware of any of these experiences that it accepts? So you see, it cannot accept anything. And this is a very confusing thing. It's very confusing for us on the relative level, where we think in terms of individual ideas of individual thinking and stuff like that. They're very interesting. I was speaking to someone on the phone today, and as I was talking to him, he was telling me how he would like to have a fuller life. He would like to have abundance. He'd like to have riches. He'd like to have everything. And I said, hey, that's great. Here's what you do. Every time you think of this little girl and her acting up, you speak your word and say, she is the most wonderful girl in the world. She loves to mind her mother. She loves to mind me. She likes to do what she, you know, is guided to do by us. But the comment came back, but she doesn't. So you see, he's not playing the game. So if he doesn't play the game in this relative level, as silly and unimportant, but very definite as it is, how can he ever expect to play it on a higher level, if we say absolute is a higher level? How can any of us ever expect to play it on a higher level if we haven't learned to discipline ourselves on the level of our human self? Now, why do we look at some human beings as spiritual masters? Why do we look at them as enjoying life very thoroughly? Because they're disciplined. They follow the program. They know what it is that makes the world go around. Love. They know what makes the world go around, and then they follow it, and they use it. Now, I'm saying these things to you because as you discipline yourself here on the human level, you will find that you easily move into an understanding first of what absolute is, and then into your absolute consciousness, which is a fantastic experience. Now, I say these things, and I say it again and again and again, and I say, don't fight me. I will tell you one thing, and then I'll tell you another thing, and both are correct as far as you're concerned, because I said it. And if you ever fight it, then you're telling me that you're not playing the game. And if you're not playing the game, then there's no reason for me to work with you to help you be illumined in what you want to be illumined in. And tonight we went through that. And I say, don't fight. And I put on a dramatic explanation, don't fight! You know, and you don't get the message. You merely hear me shouting, don't fight. You don't realize that I'm just trying to get your attention, how stupid it is, you know, how utterly stupid it is for me to shout, and how utterly stupid it is for you to fight. There's nothing to fight. As I said to the gentleman on the phone today, I said, hey, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. I said it to three different people. I said, I'm on your side. And one young man was saying, but we're having this. Hey, I'm on your side. Put the cause in motion. He says, yes, 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 I will. I will. But you see, it takes us a while to wake up. It takes us a while to wake up. And I sound so definite when I make a statement, because that's what you have to be. You have to be definite. You cannot make judgments. We put our little statements up here, untouchability, one-pointed, unpossessed, non-judgmental, and, you know, self-discipline and all the rest of it. We put them up there because learn it, make it yours totally. And the moment you have it all yours, or at least pretty close, you'll get illumination as to your absolute self, and you'll have the opportunity to move into your absolute self and not be here anymore, or be here aware how the absolute self works. And that's kind of a fun thing too. But like Ellen said, Herb, when I read this, I thought this was awfully cold. And it's the very statement that a number of very warm people took as their theme of who they really are. Because you cannot say in a warm way, you are God. You cannot say in a warm way that you are the allness, you are the isness. You cannot say in a warm way, you're whole and perfect. Shut up now. Stop. You cannot say that in a warm way. You have to say, this is principle. Well, in the Popular Science magazine there, it says a group of scientists are meeting in a colloquium, and in it they're discussing their good old buddy Einstein. And Einstein came up with the theory of relativity and a few others, and then some other scientists came along and disproved one of his theories. And he said, oh, that was one of the biggest blunders he ever made. And today, and now, 40 years later, they are saying his statement was exactly correct. It was exactly correct because he had listened to his intuition. He did not have all of the facts for it. And that's what's wrong with intuition. It doesn't give you all the material you need. But he presented what came to him. And now they're coming around, they're saying, he was right. He was right. And we're proving that he was right. So, you see, if you will, you're going to listen to your divine. And you're going to come up with some ideas sometimes that are going to seem unreasonable. And people are not going to think that you're very smart saying them. But if you listen to your divine, and that's where you got your information, stand by it. Because though it may not be accepted today, it may be accepted in a moment later. But I don't want to have you sound stupid. Well, then stop living. If you want to stop, hey, we talked about this the other day. The very fact that we're living is a miracle. The very fact that our cells keep rejuvenating themselves every moment of every day is a miracle. Everything about us is a miracle. And yet we say we never see any miracles. Mm. How blind we are and how foolish we are. So I say absolute is ice cold, but it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It is absolutely dependable. And that is the wonderful thing about it. Now, what is it that you want from your philosophical cogitations? What do you want from your philosophical investigations and thinking like that? Do you want to have a warm, cuddly bear rug? Or do you want to feel in your heart that you are at peace because now you know the truth, and the truth has set you free? It's a wonderful thing. Think about these things. We are not necessarily answering these to your satisfaction, but we're doing a good job of answering it to my satisfaction. I love you. I love you. I love you.